Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
A Western New York congressman is calling for increased security for former President Donald Trump following Sunday's incident in South Florida. In a statement released Sunday night, Republican Nick Langworthy said, quote, "The recurring political violence targeting President Trump is unacceptable and deeply un-American." Langworthy also thanked the Secret Service for their actions in keeping the former president safe. He's calling on President Joe Biden to provide the former president the same security coverage as a sitting president. Governor Kathy Hochul is back on the job after undergoing a minor surgery last week to remove basal cell carcinoma from her nose. Hochul posted a video to social media after undergoing the operation.
Hi, New York. Back on the job after having basal cell carcinoma removal from my nose right here. You can see there's a Band-Aid. It's going to be there for a little while, a little bit of swelling, maybe even a black eye. But as I say, you should have seen the other guy.
Hochul also encouraged New Yorkers to stay safe in the sun and check with their doctors. A nonprofit organization will receive $3.8 million in state funding to build permanent supportive housing in Erie County. The Episcopal Community Housing Development Organization will be using state dollars to develop 16 units of supportive housing in Angola for single adults over the age of 55 who have experienced homelessness. The units will be part of a larger three-story housing complex called St. Paul's Apartment 2. A Buffalo man faces a long list of charges in connection with a series of Sunday incidents that culminated with a shooting at a youth football game. Facing kidnapping, attempted murder, and weapons charges is 29-year-old Rashawn Mallory, who was apprehended after the vehicle he was driving crashed on Coons Avenue. Mallory is alleged to have forced a man and a woman into his vehicle before driving to the youth football game, where he then robbed two other victims and shot and wounded another male victim. Police say Mallory was attempting to flee police when his vehicle crashed. A juvenile male is being treated at ECMC after he crashed a vehicle into two Main Street storefronts in Snyder overnight. Amherst police say the crash occurred just after 1 a.m. at 4521 and 4519 Main Street, causing approximately $30,000 in structural damage. The crash remains under investigation, and police are seeking pertinent video from dash cameras and security cameras from nearby residences and businesses. The juvenile driver has been charged with multiple traffic infractions. And the Buffalo and Erie County Botanical Gardens will be closed today and tomorrow following the sudden death of the institution's president and CEO, Mark Mortensen. Mortensen joined the Botanical Gardens in February 2022 after holding leadership posts with the Buffalo Museum of Science and the Richardson Center Corporation. A statement credited how Mortensen's, quote, "warmth, generosity, and dedication made a lasting impact on all who had the privilege of knowing him."
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, it's What's Next. And today, Thomas O'Neill White will be hosting a back-to-school roundtable discussion regarding issues in the Buffalo Public Schools, with a variety of guests taking a look at educational opportunities, the mental health of students, and ensuring safety across all campuses.
Youth want to talk to youth mostly, right? And so as all these kids are converging downtown, the youth are talking to the other youth. And we've gone outside schools at dismissal. We've gone into schools. We got approval for doing this questionnaire from the district. We had to go through a pretty rigorous process to do that. But, you know, we don't wait for this. Like, we'll work with the district as much as we can. But when we see a need, we're mobilizing with each other.
And today's conversation will also feature two Buffalo Public School students to get their insights on the issues they face. That's all coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. What's Next on your NPR station, WBFO. There will be no strike by Air Canada's 5,200 pilots, at least for the time being. Air Canada and the pilots union reached a tentative agreement an hour before a deadline Sunday that could have led to a potential shutdown. Dan Karpinchuk reports tens of thousands of passengers who have booked on or use Air Canada can breathe a little easier.
That relief is being felt by travelers, business groups, and politicians across the country. A strike or lockout could have led to a shutdown affecting more than 100,000 passengers a day. Air Canada says it and the Airline Pilots Association have reached a tentative four-year contract, Ratification by pilots could take up to a month. Canada's Labour Minister, Stephen MacKinnon, was also relieved and said the deal is extremely good news.
I really want to commend the two parties who, while the negotiations were protracted some 15 months, the parties came to the table with a great deal of seriousness, looking to get a deal, and I'm obviously very, very happy that they've achieved one.
The details of the tentative contract will remain confidential pending ratification by the pilots. But earlier in the talks, Air Canada had offered a 30% increase plus improved benefits, which the union rejected. The pilots had demanded wage parity with their counterparts in the U.S. Some of them had achieved 30 to 40% pay increases last year. The union did say that the tentative deal will add approximately $1.5 billion of value for the pilots over the course of the agreement. There is also progress on retirement and work rules. The deal also averts travel disruptions for the 670 flights that Air Canada operates daily. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Western New York Collegiate Soccer was in the spotlight. The Buffalo Sabres prospects split the weekend, and St. Joe's outlasted Jamestown on Friday Night Lights. I'm Jack Cruiser. This is The Scoreboard for Monday, September 16th. Saturday night was historic on the pitch at Niagara University as the Purple Eagles hosted St. Bonaventure for a non-league Little Three men's soccer match. What started as a stalemate quickly turned into a match the hundreds of fans in attendance will remember forever. It was the 50th time that the two Western New York opponents would face each other in their program's histories, with the Bonnies holding a significant 21-match advantage. The first half was loaded with glorious opportunities and stellar defense to counter. Both teams were held scoreless through 45 minutes, but both had shown flashes of high-tempo offense leading to prime opportunities. 6 minutes into the second half, Niagara suffered an own goal against as St. Bonaventure's attacker sent the ball into the box where it deflected off a Purple Eagle for the 1-0 lead. The Bonnies added another tally 8 minutes later as Rashida Rosa capitalized on a nifty feed from Will O'Connor to double the Bonnies' lead with 30 minutes left to play. At that moment, it seemed inevitable that Niagara would lose its sixth match of the young season, wishing for the chances they missed in the first half back. Play continued on, with the Bonnies sitting back and Niagara starting to dial up the pressure. Finally, in the 78th minute, a foul was called on St. Bonaventure inside their own 18, giving NU a penalty kick attempt. The Purple Eagles' leading scorer, Felix Kogler, buried it, cutting the deficit in half. Niagara continued with possession, and less than 3 minutes later, this.
Venture on the perimeter of the 18. Swings one in. Low goal!
That's NU's Frank Gallo calling Niagara's Gerard Lopez Foreigner's goal off the cross from Dominic Sintra to tie the match at 2. But that's not all. 39 seconds later.
Inside the 18 still. Trying to get free. Pushing his way through. Goal!
Lopez Foreigner gave NU the lead with less than 9 minutes to play, but again, he was not done. The graduate student from Sila, Spain, notched his third goal of the match in the 84th minute, securing the Purple Eagles' come-from-behind victory. The final, Niagara 4, St. Bonaventure 2. Sticking in Division I soccer, the UB Bulls women defeated Northern Colorado 2-0 on Sunday, ending their non-conference schedule undefeated for the first time since 1999. The 5-0-2 Bulls head to Akron on Thursday to open the Mid-American Conference schedule. The Prospects Challenge took over Lecom Harbor Center this weekend as up-and-comers from 6 Eastern Conference NHL teams began play in the exhibition showcase. Buffalo defeated Columbus 3-1 Friday night, then fell to New Jersey on Saturday. Sabres forward Yuri Kulik has been the standout, compiling 3 goals and an assist thus far. Buffalo closes the challenge versus Pittsburgh tonight at 7 p.m. Once again, the Friday Night Lights crew took in the most high-scoring game of the weekend in Western New York as St. Joe's defeated Jamestown 41-30 at Strider Field in Week 2. It was back and forth from the start, with Monsignor Martin Association representative St. Joe's taking a 7-0 lead, then again at 14-7. But Section 6's Jamestown capitalized on a safety, followed by a go-ahead touchdown, taking a 15-14 advantage into halftime. The red and green added to their lead after forcing a punt on the first drive of the second half. Jamestown junior Chase Bonta returned the punt for a touchdown. Jamestown's 22-14 lead seemed secure as they forced another punt from the Marauders, who just couldn't evade the red and green defensive line. However, the St. Joe's D-line, led by senior captain Peyton Brock, put on the pressure, forcing punts on 5 straight Jamestown drives, giving the offense time to get to work. It took just 9 offensive plays and less than 3 minutes of possession time for St. Joe's to break the barrier, scoring touchdowns on 4 straight drives. St. Joe's senior receiver George Coons ended the game with over 200 yards and 3 touchdown receptions as St. Joe's defeated Jamestown 41-30. The Buffalo Bulls football team defeated UMass on Saturday 34-3. UB heads to NIU for the MAC opener on Saturday. This has been The Scoreboard for Monday, September 16th. I'm Jack Cruiser for WBFO Sports.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.